This is a day that, you know, sometimes I wish that I had taken my time and gone to theology school, and I think this week kind of gives me reason to wonder why I didn't do that, because, anyway, sometimes I fight with my own effort to try to say something. I want to thank all of you for coming. You know, I don't know why you do. I got to looking at the file folders, and when I prepare one of these, then I put it in a file folder and put a title on it if I've got one, and put it in the file box. Well, I've filled the file box up and having that many more again, and that just amazes me that I have done that. So, anyway, and then for you all to come and listen to somebody that really isn't theologically trained, that's really amazing. And so I thank you for coming. I tried to get a title to the people in the back room, and I told them just call it the Advent. Mike knows from our discussion last night that I asked him about the Advent, so today I'm going to describe it, and probably not going to be in accordance with our discussion last night exactly, but anyway, it'd be different. Christmas Day is fast approaching, and I don't know about you, but we have our lists of things that have to be done. Check it twice, thrice, four times, still overlook things. We're busily doing those traditional things that we've always done. I'm reminded of the Christmas letter. It practically writes itself in our family, because it was the family story for the year previous. I don't remember the exact year, and I didn't go back and pull a copy of the family Christmas letter, but the story was that Santa put music boxes in the fireplace, played them as loud as he could to get rid of the chimney swifts. They'd fallen down and nothing would make them leave, and the noise was keeping everybody in the house awake. And that was the story about Santa. See, poking fun at the old man because I wasn't the one writing it. It was my former wife. She was writing it, and she would tell the true stories about our family. It was embarrassing sometimes. And so, anyway, we never did get rid of those until we had the chimney people come out and take care of them. But she always talked about Elf Renee and the Elf Risa, and their art project or their basketball team, and Mrs. Claus would brag about her brand new freezer, and the only reason she had a brand new freezer was because, you see, she had the one she had so full you couldn't push a dime in it, and she needed more room to save. I never knew anybody that could collect food like she did. She had barrels with the... And she would tell it. She would admit it. So I guess if she's going to take the punishment in her own newsletter, why, that was okay. But anyway, every year people look forward to it because in the tag end of the newsletter, she always put people's names in there that we needed to pray for. And that was the newsletter. And a lot of times the list of those people we needed to pray for was longer than the stories about Mrs. Claus and Elf Risa. And then, you know, what we end up doing is we make a huge list of things we have to do. The Christmas letter that I mentioned, the gifts, Christmas cards, Christmas carols, decorations, parties, eggnog, apple cider, Christmas trees, get the stuff out of the attic, football finals, basketball tryouts, church caroling. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on at this time of the year that's not so much fun. Oh, there's excitement and joy and hope and love in most of the Christian families that have the wherewithal to feed their family, but there's poor. There's tired and lonely, and there's people like our friend that's being moved out of her apartment for not enough money to pay the rent. And we go faster and faster and faster every year. There's a time to slow down. And we need to slow down, and this is it. This is the time we really need to slow down and take a few minutes off. Turn to Psalm 37:23. Psalm 37:23. Just a couple of verses, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We need to take time to meditate. This time of the year, we need to take time to meditate about what's going on. Take time to put aside the secular and the cultural, concentrate on our relationships with God, relationships with the family. Sometimes that newsletter is not all that important, and time with Elf Risa would have been better spent. Sometimes we just need rest. Sounds like Kevin needs some rest. Sounds like we all need some rest. My grandmother used to say that to my dad, who worked all day at a job, and then he'd work all night at home to improve the house and fix up cabinets and do things. My grandmother used to say, "Earl, you only got so many strokes of the hammer. And if you double up on today, you shorten your life." And true to form, he did die earlier than my grandfather, and 65, and I'm 80 in the 80s. We want to be right in our relationship. And we're in the Advent season, and I talked to Mike a minute about that, got him to kind of explain to me some of his observations about the Advent. This is a time of year where some churches have an Advent ceremony, and they kind of make it a tradition. But our church doesn't really do that. We don't celebrate the four Sundays like some of the churches do. They make it something special and maybe take away from Christ himself in the process. But in any event, we're in the Advent season. The meaning of Advent is an interesting word, because the dictionary makes it very clear. It has about four different meanings, but they're all pretty confined. Advent, and the primary definition of it is it's the coming into place, the coming of an event into place. Number two definition is coming of Christ into the world. The number three definition is the period of beginning four Sundays before Christmas. Now we're talking about the ceremonies that some churches perform. And the fourth is the second advent, the coming of Christ the second time. And Mike's leading to that in his discussions on Sunday, and so we are doubly in an Advent season now, because we are in a season where we're looking towards the celebration of Christ's birth. But if we read the sign out front, we are in the time where we're beginning to look at the rapture, another Advent, a coming into place. Rapture is on our minds. Many times we get so excited about the main event, we pass over the most important things that are going on in the world and the most important things in our lives. We're planning and doing the work to get to the main event, but we really forget to take care of some of those things. Children especially want to open gifts under the tree before breakfast. I mean, to get there quicker. After all, they want to beat the other kids in the neighborhood out on the street with their new bicycles or whatever. I had the pleasure of having grandparents, Sydney and Ethel North, who owned a dime store. And, of course, they stayed open Christmas Eve till midnight for the last customers. And if you know, in the town, little town I came from, those people that worked in the country and on those farms sometimes worked up till 10 or 11 o'clock at night before they could sell their produce or their eggs or get enough money to go to the town to buy gifts. And grandmother and grandfather had this tradition. I always chuckle about it. My dad and mom loved it. But anyway, you see, they had a dime store, so they could have gotten, they could have ordered from their suppliers anything they wanted for their grandkids, but their policy was, you see, to wait till 12 o'clock closing time. And then they went through the store to find what was left for grandkids and mom and dad. It was funny. And they used the paper that they used last year to wrap, because they were in the Depression and they knew hard times. To make matters worse, the morning of Christmas, we had to wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon and eat our lunch, because 3 o'clock was the time grandmother would feed us. Then we had a story from grandfather about the three bears, and we got to see the pictures of the family grandmother had stored. Then we got to open the gift. So anyway, you can tell I have great recollections of those times. But anyway, we oftentimes kind of run over those things, because you see, now grandmother told the stories with each of those pictures. My dad had sense enough to make copies of those pictures, and so I have them, the family. I wish I could remember the stories that she knew by rote, and I knew by rote then, too, because she said them every year. But, so we pass over some of the things that are really maybe important. But I want to talk about this time back a long time ago. Time shortly before the birth of Christ. I want to turn to Luke 1. Now, I'm going to do a lot of reading in Luke, but I want to try to address some things that, as a student of the Bible that is not theologically trained, I keep reading stuff that I've read before and seeing things that I didn't see before, which doesn't mean that any of this will be new to you, but it was to me. So let's start at Luke 1, verse 5. Now I'm going to read through 15. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the divorce of Abia and his wife, of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn the incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even in his mother's womb. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in the mother's womb. And I know I've read that before, but it struck me as something that I had not paid attention to before, because that's not the way it happens to us now. It's not the way I would have thought of, and I kind of just read over it. But he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. So next, I'm going to just go on with 16 through 20 and read. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias, to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of just, and to make ready people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And now for long time, I probably read this, but I probably didn't pay much attention to that, believe us not. But it seems to me we have right here a foreshadowing of where we're going. We have a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to us on down the line. If you believe us not, you'll be dumb. So, let's go on. 21, 22. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he'd seen the vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. But he was unable to speak. Unable to speak. So he was speechless because he did not believe. Then, Luke 31. Luke 1:31. I'm sorry. And I'm skipping over the part that really deals with the birth of Christ, because that's a whole other lesson in mind. But I do need to put in here that, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And this is what the angel is telling Mary, and shall call his name Jesus. And this is here for purposes for tonight anyway, for making it clear that Mary knew when she went to visit Elizabeth that she was with child. So then I want to go to Luke 39 through 41. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Here again, I think we see a foreshadowing, but the baby leaped is the leap of the baby because he's in the presence of the Christ in the womb. Something that I just really hadn't understood. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So, Luke 1, 42 through 45, really. And she spake out loud with a voice and said, Blessed art thou, young woman, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. Now you see, if you were Elizabeth and you were being given this guy John, and Mary was being given the Son of God, it sure would have been easy to be jealous. It's not what happened. Because what she does, she goes ahead, Elizabeth goes ahead. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. She's recognizing that Mary is the mother of the Lord. And blessed is she that believed. Now you see we have the opposite, because she does believe. She does believe. And there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You suppose she can speak? See, she believed. She believed. I want to go to Luke 1:57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth the son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the big day that they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, not so. Sounds like the lady of the house. But he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would save him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, The name is John. And they marveled at it all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And the fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised about abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all that they heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord of God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And here we have Zechariah believes. And then if we read the rest of this, 68 on through 75, Blessed be the Lord of God Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the word began, that we should be saved from our enemies. And enemies from the land of all that hate us, to perform mercy and promises to our fathers, and to remember as holy covenant the oath which he sware our father. Abraham, that he would grant to us, well, we being delivered out of the hand of the enemies, to serve him without fear. So, what we have is that Zacharias is filled with the Holy Ghost because he believed. See, I think what we have then is a prophecy or a suggestion that these women believed in life, not abortion. These women believed in life. And if this is not a case for life, what else do you need? So now, if we really take this to heart, this is kind of a foreshadowing of where we are today, because we're in the days before we celebrate Christ. And probably, I think, there's some takeaways that we should recognize. And they're all, you all know them. We need to believe. We need to believe. John 3:16. We need to believe. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then second, Holy Spirit indwells us. And believers, we believe, it's a Christian church, we believe that Holy Spirit indwells us the minute we believe. Anticipated by John 14:7. Find it. I've lost it. notes. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But yet ye know him, for he dwelleth within you, and shall be in you. So it kind of demonstrates that as believers, the Holy Spirit is in us. And the most important part of this, James 1:1-2. James, a servant of God and the Lord of Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And see, if we go back and look at what Luke said to Zechariah when he was telling him about the baby coming, he told Zechariah, you would have great joy. And the joy that comes from doing God's work, obeying the commandments. So, we go to Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So Christ is commanding us to do His commandments. Christ has made it clear that our joy comes from doing His will, doing what He asks us to do, what He suggests to us that we do. So we need to take a minute out of this busy season. We need to take time to meditate on Christ and what He's done and what He's done for us. We need to take time to share what we have with friends and neighbors and family. Because they're busy. Busy for meditating. And we have family members in our family. Do not buy into believing in Christ or that there's any joy from it, there's any blessing from it. And we get calls from them. Did get a call from one today who denies the existence of a God at all, not a buy into anything we're saying here at all. And I don't know that he's one that we ought to be doing this with, but what God's saying in Matthew 28 is we ought to be touching base with some of these people. And I had Ruth write out a letter and type it up for me, and I have lost on the way over here, lost it. So, but anyway, I was going to share this letter with you because I've found that I am sharing what it says with some people that I know. Some people that I dealt with for years, went to church with them, talked with them, went to different programs, where practiced law. I don't know them. I don't know whether they know Christ. But we prayed. I really don't know. Some of them know Christ. And I don't know whether this is something that appeals to you, but I've written some of these people a letter. Dear Walter, I know that we've spent many a day at wood carving competitions. You know, I don't really know. I don't know whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I don't know whether you know if you will go to heaven or not. And I would appreciate it, kind of salve my failure, you would let me know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for wisdom and guidance. Thank you for your lesson here at John acknowledged the Christ Jesus while he was yet in the womb. An awesome, awesome picture that is. Christ in the womb also. So moving that John jumped for joy in the womb. An awesome. Believe that we as your people maybe left many things undone, like to ask Walter 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whether he really knew Christ as his Lord and Savior. Well, I know we prayed together in meals and sometimes around campfires at some of the carving. I don't really know. I don't really know. And Father, we pray that we reach people with your word this time of year. What better time than when we're celebrating Christ's birth, to share the gospel message, to share the birth of Christ and the meaning of it, and right now. What better time? We pray, Father, that you be with the Lake Country Bible Church, you be with each and all of us, that you walk with us, that you talk with us, that you teach us your ways, that you lead us in ways that you have planned for us to go, that we walk in the plans, in your plans for our lives, that we are obedient servants and seek to follow your ways in all things. We pray, Father, in all things, your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.